How many times have you said yes when you really wanted to say no? How many times have you kept quiet about something you really needed just to keep the peace? And on the flip side, how many times have you let someone else carry the weight of your choices, doing for you what you should have done for yourself? That's the cycle of codependency. It convinces us that our worth comes from giving too much or letting others give too much to us. Either way, it robs us of self-respect. But when you set boundaries and get honest about your needs, you start breaking the cycle. That's where freedom begins. Welcome back to the Clean Life Cast, where healing becomes a movement. I'm your host, Mason Anderson, and I'm here with my co-host, Daniel Tapasula. Today, we're diving deep into the powerful connection between boundaries, self-respect, and codependency. Because without boundaries, we lose ourselves. Without self-respect, we settle for less than we deserve. And when codependency takes over, it shows up in two ways. Either we give too much of ourselves or we let others give too much to us. Daniel and I are going to talk about both sides of that cycle. What it looked like in our own lives, the pain it caused, and what it takes to step into healthy relationships built on honesty, respect, and balance. So I'm really grateful to be back here with you, Daniel.
Yep, so am I.
I just wanted to ask you how things have been going. Is everything going good?
Yeah, everything's been going good. Been getting a lot of feedback on what we're doing, like positive feedback. I always ask the homies to give constructive feedback, and it's been all positive and certain stuff that we could do more of, you know. Charisse just posted this morning.
I love her so much.
Did you read her post on Facebook?
I swear when she posts, it does something to my soul because she always just like speaks from the heart and it's so real that it's like,
yeah,
makes me emotional, bro. Like, she's amazing. I love you, Charisse, for real.
Yeah, shout out to Charisse.
Awesome realness.
Just been going good. I just want to shout out to one of my homies, his celebration of life. His name is Fiji. This is his shirt. He passed away a couple weeks ago, but his celebration of life is this weekend. I wish I could make it, but I can't.
Is it in Hawaii?
It's in Hawaii. He got buried in Fiji. They're doing a celebration of life in a town I'm from. It's called Laie. They're also doing one in town where a bunch of the Hawaii artists. He's basically like the Fiji Elvis. The Elvis of Hawaii, you know? Like the way Hawaii music is now, he's had his hand in all parts of the game. And definitely shout out to Fiji. Rest in peace. Love you, Uso. I wish you could be there. But everything else has been going good. What about you? How's everything with you?
It's going really well, bro. It's kind of same old. I've just kind of been staying focused on the grind and putting in the work. I got a lot of stuff coming up this week.
Yeah.
Got the barbecue at Wasatch. I'm going to tell my story over there on the 15th.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to this codependency class and tell my story next Wednesday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. Just kind of trying to stay in,
what time?
In the grind. At 7 p.m.
Oh, I work. I'll see if I can go.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm trying to like really focus on like the basics right now. Like I'm really trying to just hone in on the things that I already have going and just really cultivate and grow them. Cause I was in this state for a long time where it was like, just do more. And then now I'm in a place where like, I feel like I have a strong hold, like a foundation. And I just want to make sure that I'm giving enough energy and time to the things that I have in my life. So
yeah,
that's really what I'm focused on.
Yeah, on the foundation. It's like foundation for the house. You go check for cracks, make sure everything's still solid, right? There's nothing wrong with going back to the basics, making sure that everything you worked on is still in play, everything is still solid, and then go back to, and there's nothing wrong with adding more stuff, you know, more purpose to life. There's nothing wrong. I've been trying to add more things to my life within reason, not make it too overwhelming or try to do too much, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
I love that, bro. And I think that will play a lot into the conversation that we're going to have today, because I think like, well, first of all, I want to like break down some things, because you hear the word like boundaries, or you hear the word self-respect, or you hear like core values, and it's like they just kind of go one ear and out the other. Yeah. And I've really been thinking heavy about that, because like I said in a previous episode, when I was learning about like core values, it was like, it's not like I never heard of core values in my lifetime. Like that was something that always was said, you know, what's your values, like blah, blah. But then when I really like broke it down, was like, that's something that actually is, you know, vital to my life. You know, if I really know what my values are and I can really say these are my values, then all of a sudden it changes my lens that I see the world through. And so like, I want to do that kind of same thing. And it's not like I'm obviously not an expert in these things, but like boundaries and self-respect are huge. And I think that like, when it comes to like self-respect, it's like living within, like what you need, your needs, you know, when you respect yourself, you do things for, because like your soul is telling you that this is your path, this is what it is you actually are looking for in your life. And then when you actually set the boundaries or you do the things to make it to where you are able to live within those means, then all of a sudden you start feeling more power inside yourself and feeling like this is actually what it is that you were supposed to step through.
Yeah, it's funny that you said you're not an expert, but the way you described it makes me feel like you are an expert. Like, basically, what is an expert? Somebody that went to school and studied on it, you know. But I feel like you can be an expert in certain areas by living through it and learning from it, which is what going to school is about, right? Go to school and learn about it. Maybe we didn't go to school, but we learned it in a different way. So I feel like we can form an expertise on things that we didn't necessarily study, but live through.
And I talked to Todd one time when I first was like trying to put things together, and I was like, I don't have no certifications for that and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, in my years of doing this, nobody's asked me for my certification. They want to know that I lived that. And I have the actual experience of like lived experience, and I did the things, and like they're more interested in the fact that they know that you actually went through it the real way, opposed to like going and just learning it out of a book.
Yeah, but and there's not knocking on anybody that hasn't gone through it and does have a license. It's just a different. I'm just saying there's a different way to become an expert on certain things, you know?
I'd love to have both, honestly.
Yeah, I would too. I'm just old. Anyways.
Nice. If we're going to break into boundaries and self-respect, like what did it look like for you before you had boundaries in your life?
I never had boundaries. I never knew what boundaries was. You enter my life, you exit my life, I entered yours. There's no such thing as boundaries. I didn't learn what boundaries were until I got to Wasatch Recovery. It was a hard thing for me to try to understand, to be able to do. I remember talking to my therapist, Ashley, and she was saying, you got to set boundaries up. And I said, I can set boundaries, but it's not like I can enforce them. And she says, why? And I was like, bro, all of a sudden my life is good. And I got the nerve to tell people how they can act in my life when I was acting a fool for a while. Like I felt like that would make me out to be a hypocrite, you know? And she said, boundaries are not for people that enter your life. It's for you to protect how you want to live your life. It's how you want, it's a tool that you can use to preserve the lifestyle that you want to live. If people want to enter it, these are the rules that you have to respect in order to participate in my life, you know? That's what I learned what boundaries were. And they're, boundaries are easy to set. Anybody can set boundaries. This is my boundary. This is my boundary. The hard thing about boundaries is upholding them. You know, like if somebody acts a fool, telling them that they can't do it no more, especially where it was that I was the fool. And now that I'm no longer a fool and trying to tell people that I've known before coming to my life that they can't act like that if they want to be in my life. That was the hard part. Right. That was the hard part to uphold, that there's a different standard that goes along with the life that I'm choosing to live. And if you want to be around this, you got to participate in the rules and the standard that I'm setting for, which is what boundaries mean to me, you know?
Right. And I love that. And I think that you're dead on. And when I look at boundaries, like there's a lot of that where it's like harder to hold the boundaries than it is to set the boundaries. I have a hard time sometimes even setting the boundaries though. Like I have a hard time, like in my soul, I'm like, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or maybe like we'll work through it. It will work out.
Justify, you know, or excuse certain behaviors.
And then eventually it gets to a point where like I'm literally being drained from the fact that I'm telling these people what it is that I need. And then, and then it's like, it's not even on them because it's like, I haven't set that where it's like, this is what I need in order to live my fullest true life.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like basic things like sleep. Like I have a hard time because I have friends that like stay up late or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, I want to get my sleep at nighttime because the next day I wake up and I feel emotionally drained or unregulated. And like, it just makes my day a lot harder than it needs to be. And then I try to explain that sometimes and they just kind of not maliciously, but they're like, come on, old man, or whatever they say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that's something that's a hard boundary for me where it's like, I need that for my own growth. And so for my own self well being. And so but I need to be better at like, first of all, stating the fact, because if they don't know, then they can't respect it.
Yeah.
And then if I do state it, I got to let them know that it's something that I truly do value.
Enforce it. Right. And the reason, I don't know, for me, the reason why people still try to encourage you to do something that you used to do is because you didn't state that this is what you want to do now, you know, and then upholding it is the hard part for me because it's like, no, I'm serious. Like, if you want to be around me, you can't do certain things. You can't act a certain way. And it's just the direction I'm going. If you're with it, let's jump in the ride and let's go. But if you're not, man, you got to stop and get out right here, you know?
Right.
And that's the hard part, is not allowing people that's been in my life for a long time no longer be around, you know? That's the hardest part about boundaries for me. But I understand that it is important to be able to have, let people that enter my life understand that there's a certain standard that you have to live in order to keep being around me. That's the way I understand it, at least, you know?
And I love that. And that's something, there's a huge point in it. And I think that there's like a whole nother side to it that keeps coming up for me, is like when the boundaries is like, for instance, okay. So like every time that I say yes to something when I really mean no inside, like I lose a little piece of myself, and then it starts to build and build and build and makes you completely off track of who you are. But like for an example that's kind of close to home is like, I was in a relationship where I truly love this person, and I truly was like, we connected well and things, and she helped me through so many things in my addiction. You know what I mean? She was there for me in ways that no person has ever been there for me, you know, and truly cares about me, and I truly care about her. And it was when I was in treatment, and it got to this point where it's like, even though I loved her with all my heart, and even though that there was this strong connection, and she's still one of the greatest people in my life, but it's like I had to like set a boundary that's like, I can't let you do things for me anymore, you know? I have to learn to like break away. Like, I have a wound that happened when I was young with my mom or whatever it may be, built this hole where like I am codependent on other people. Like, it's not that they're like, I'm the one giving them everything, it's that they give me everything, and then it causes me to not be the man I need to be. So like, I had to set a boundary, like I need space to step away and truly find out how to build my own life, you know? Yeah. And that was a hard boundary to set, you know?
Yeah, and it's even harder when you have to set it to yourself, because what we was talking about earlier about justifying or excusing, we're the first ones that and it goes back to the way we used to live for a long time. It's easy to excuse something new or something we're trying to do little by little, you know, and not knowing that these little things, bricks in the foundation, if you will destroy the house if it's not set in stone, you know? Like, all these little things, excusing, you know, like especially when it pertains to yourself, like, oh, it's all right, and then you go along with it. But then understanding that it's not all right, like holding yourself to a higher standard, to me was one of the hardest things to do. It was harder for me to try and hold myself to a higher standard and then try to hold other people to a standard to be around in my life, you know? To do it for me, man, that was probably the strongest thing I could ever do, was to be able to be all right with, this is a new thing, we got to follow through, you know, like setting a boundary. Anybody can set a boundary, but not everybody can follow through with upholding it. And even stopping people from helping you, right? Like, it's all right to get help, but sometimes we need people to respect the boundary in order for us to let us be our true selves. And that's, I've never heard that before. Like, I heard you talk about this girl before, but I've never heard that she was helping you out so much to where it was crippling you from becoming who you are now, you know? That's pretty cool that you were aware of what was going on and stopped it, you know? Like, allow you to grow.
A strong conversation with Wendy.
Most conversations with Wendy is strong, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, and it was something I did not want to do, you know? It was like, that was one of those things that I was like, how am I gonna, like, this person has done, gave her whole life to help me get here.
Yeah.
And then, like, I get sober, and then all of a sudden things change, and then I'm like, oh, I need to step away. And then I felt really guilty and like a lot of pain, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but really for her life and for my life, it was the best thing that could have happened, because it pushed us both in the direction of like growth.
Yeah.
And then it happens a lot though, with a lot of different relationships where it's like, now that I'm realizing that like, I do have some self-respect and I do have some self-worth and I do know what it is I want. It's like, it's getting a lot easier to like talk about those things. It's not easy to uphold them. It's still not easy. Like, that's one of the hardest things for me. I mean, I think about it at work at times, you know, where it's like, I say one thing and then it gets pushed back a little bit, and I'm like, well, it's not a big of a deal, you know? Yeah. But it is a big deal. It is a big deal, because it's my self-respect that's on the line, my worth, and my what it is I need to do for me in order to be in my best state. So it is a big deal, even the small things.
Yeah.
Another way that like codependency fell into my life heavy is like staying in relationships that were unhealthy for me, or being friends, having friends that were like truly just draining me constantly. And I just, I get that way with like a lot of people, where it's like, it's not about like cutting people off and being controlling, or like trying to be like stonewalling and being like, oh, that's a toxic way of like setting these boundaries. But communicating and being open and being like, this is exactly what it is that I feel like is best for my life or for this situation. And if we can make compromises and get to this point, then that'll be great. And if not, then it's something that I need to step away from. And that's super hard for me. Like because I love like I love and I have so many people in my life, it's like I'll let draining people take over if I'm not careful, you know?
Yeah, and that's hard. Like cutting out people that's been in my life. And there's times where like these were the only people in my life, you know? And to, you know, not cut them off, but no longer be able to be around them for my well-being. I was definitely codependent on a bunch of people that I was addicted in my addiction, you know? But there's a quote that about that. Be careful to those that are loyal to the need of you, because as their needs change, so does their loyalty. Yeah. And I feel like they had to be careful of my loyalty to the need of them. And I had to be careful around theirs, although I didn't know it at that time, you know, but as their needs changed, so did their loyalty. And I feel like that's exactly what was going on. I don't know. Codependency is a rough one too, but like, it's just a tough topic to talk about, because there's so many people that I still truly love that are still out there that I was codependent on. But they are like, there's a bunch of them that are draining. There's a bunch of them that are using me, you know, like, and it's hard to not be able to be there for them, but that's not the place I want to be no more. Like if I can, like the only thing I can possibly do for them now is show them a direction to be in a better spot.
Right. And I love that, bro. And that's actually one of the best things you can do for them.
Yeah.
Is be that leader, be that light for, I mean, even if they're not ready yet, at least they see that it's possible.
Yeah.
They watch somebody come from where they came from. I saw this little meme on Facebook the other day, and it was all these dogs sitting up on this entertainment center staring at the TV. And yep. It said, the homie made it out the hood. And there was this dog on the dog show running.
Yeah. I remember one time when I got down to sober living, my therapist down there was Sean first, then Jason. But I was sitting in Sean's office and he asked me what my goals were. And I was telling him a bunch of goals. And he was like, what is a big goal you got? And I told him, I want to be so good and so big in my recovery, my own recovery, not like be popular or be famous. I just want to be so big and good in my recovery journey to where my name goes out to these places where I used to kick it. And they no longer talk about me as bro, I did a bunch of extra stuff in my addiction that people still talk about, but I wanted my name in recovery to go out and smother that name out. And people talk about me in this version instead of that.
Yeah, I guarantee it has.
Yeah, and it's working right now. I sent this podcast to my cousin. I still talk to my cousin, Pete. Shout out to Pete. Much love. If you ever need help, reach out. But I send my podcast to him. He said he plays it for the homies. So in a way, I'm reaching to these places where I don't have to go there no more, but they're hearing me even though I'm not around through the podcast.
Better healed state.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, bro.
And he texts me back. He's like, bro, this is so sick. I played it for a couple of the homies. And through that, I hope it reaches them and shows them that, you know, like the dog sitting on an entertainment center and homie made it out the hood type stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because that meme is exactly what's going on right now. You know, like Josie's one of the people that used to be around.
Josie.
Yeah, she used to be around with us. She used to always be at my garage. Shout out to Josie's husband, Full Bloomfield. He just hit 1 year yesterday.
Let's go.
Happy 1 year, Uso.
1 year.
Ofatu. Yeah, Full Bloomfield.
Congrats,
hit 1 year.
Bro.
Yeah. But they used to kick it and they're clean now. But, you know, being able to reach out to people that I used to kick it with, the only people that used to be around, good or bad, you know, and forming these relationships, even though it wasn't in a healthy manner, I did develop some codependency on them because they were the only people around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What's crazy about codependency is like, it's like depending on other people to fill your needs or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like for whatever purpose in that moment, like they were filling those needs for you.
Yeah.
And it's hard because when you realize like, I don't want you to fill those needs, then that means that those needs aren't filled.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to be the one to stand up and say, okay, now it's time for me to fill those things on my own.
That's the only true way you can grow.
Stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you're not just afraid like losing people. Like I was afraid that I couldn't do it on my own without them. I was afraid I was going to be alone or I was going to not be able to without my ex or my mom or the people around me that did so much to help me get to where I am. It's like I really felt for a long time like without these people, I'm dead on the street. You know what I mean? And that happened multiple times where it was like when they finally set their boundaries and they were like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, well, I have no options because I was so just lost.
And Fern, when you remember when Fern got his 10-year chip, he said something that makes me feel like it relates to codependency. And he said, I'm not so scared of losing other people more than I'm scared of losing myself. Remember when he said that? That was so sick. But I feel like I'm scared to, like, I don't want to lose people. And in order for me to be where I'm at, I'm not losing them. I'm just like setting a boundary and saying, this is me now. And it's kind of a losing people in a way. But, you know, like when he said that, I was like, man, that's so powerful. Like, you do want people to make it. You do want the best for others. But in order for you to be this light in a dark space, you got to be the best for you. And don't lose yourself trying to be this person there for other people. Somebody told me, don't be the go-to guy for people that you can't go to.
Oh, yeah, that's fire.
Yeah, don't be the guy that where everybody know they can come get something from you. But if they can't do nothing for you, then why are you doing it? And I'm not saying, like, I don't know. That it's just a quote that stuck with me, like, because there's a bunch of people I still allowed in my life to come in and get stuff from me. But if I needed my tire changed or if I needed somebody to lift me up, the same people that come get help from me, I can't get help from them.
Right. Well, and you said some a couple podcasts back about like how like people in your life at certain times will have certain things that you don't have and that you'll have certain things at times that they don't have. And so I think that like for me, if I'm feeling like in myself and strong and powerful and I feel like a good place, then it's like I'm willing to reach out, let people come into me or talk about like certain things that normally if they would be too heavy on me that I couldn't deal with. Yeah. But like it's like, for instance, it's hard for me. Because like I'm in recovery now and I'm strong in my recovery and I want to help people find recovery. It's hard for me when like people that are struggling in the addiction that don't want to change it. And I try to give them like, maybe you could try this or try that. And they don't want to do it. Yeah. And so it's like, well, I mean, I get that it's hard right now, but if you don't want to make the change, then how are we going to do anything about it? And then it starts feeling a lot of like heaviness that I'm like not sure if I can continuously do with this person, you know.
But those are the, like D was telling me that all you can do is give them Decker or Christian's number, but when they do enter the doors into the recovery world, I feel like that's the same as me. Like as soon as they get in, bro, we're gonna get it.
Yeah,
trying to get them into the door is heavy for me too. Like so that's the reason for me sending a podcast out to my cousin Pete. And reach out to them like that without having to be on the phone. Because being on the phone is, like, I'm cool with it, but sometimes it could be dangerous. You know, I'm not encouraging people in their early recovery to talk to their old homies. Like, work on you first, but I feel like I'm in a spot where I can still conversate with Pete, make sure he's all right, and reach out like that. You know what I mean?
And like, there's always, like, different, like, scenarios and different people and things. Because, like, when I say that, it starts making me like, I guess it's like a boundary thing, you know, but it's like, I start thinking about some people that I'm close to that still are in addiction that do want change, but they're not making the steps. And it's like, and I'm there for them regardless. But I think it's just like situational, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's people that, and I want to be the light, you know what I mean? I want to be that person that people know, okay, I'm struggling. Let's call him and we'll get somewhere. But it gets to let's call him and then we don't get anywhere because there's not really like a commitment to change, you know?
But I feel like that is doing your part. That is being the light, you know, just being there. They know where you're at, right? Like, I didn't know how to find Wasatch. My homie Summer Prescott and Fred Prescott, I will always have love for you guys. My son and Emily came to visit me in jail. And Daniel said, he goes, hey, Auntie Summer hit me up on Messenger. I think she thought this was you. And I started crying and I looked at him and I told him, tell him I need help. Awesome. Tell him I need help, right? Like, yeah, tell him I need help. And so they set it up to where when I got out of jail, Fred was going to pick me up. He wasn't able to pick me up right when I got out because, you know, they let you out at like 2 a.m. And so Emily put me up in a hotel and I waited for Fred there. And Fred came and picked me up and took me to Orem. But anyways, there is help available. Like you don't have to go shining your light on every single being, right? People know how to find you. Clean Life Cast, you know, like they know where you're at. Like until I heard my son say Summer's voice, I didn't even think about using them as somebody to help me find help until my son said Summer hit me up thinking it was you. And I was like, tell him I need help. And then I was able to find help. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there's help available. You know where Mason's at. You know where I'm at. Look us up and you can find us. There's, what is the email to hit you up on Clean Life?
It's cleanlifecommunity@icloud.com. But there's also a Clean Life Community on Facebook, Instagram, the website. So, I mean, you can find us on Clean Life Community anywhere.
And look us up on Facebook if you can't find that. Daniel Topassol, Mason Anderson. But reach out. Like, there's help available.
Yeah, look us up on the website. It's got our phone numbers and contact information and everything that we need. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I'll get yours on that too.
Yeah. I'm down to talk to anybody.
So that kind of went full circle where we were saying that, like, there's that side to it where it gets hard to deal with those situations, but it's also like, that's what we're here for. And we're grateful to do it. It's just like, the only thing that I want is like when people do want help to trust the process, you know, because that's what's hard is like I'll give them solid leads or connections or things. And I don't get me wrong. I've been in addiction heavy for a long time. So I know exactly how it is. It's like, oh, tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll go tomorrow. I can do this. I'm going to do it. And then at nighttime, you're like all motivated. And by morning time, you're like, so, I mean, I get it. I do understand. It's just like, in order for us to actually like lock in and make this happen, it's like, you got to trust that you're going to take some steps, that it's going to be difficult, but we're going to make it happen if we do those things and we push through.
It'll take work. This is the part where you got to figure out if you're down and if it's worth it. Like for me, it was worth it. It was worth saving so many things in my life, keeping people that I love around. And without entering into this journey, I would lose them. I would be by myself right now. Probably on North Temple or in Kern somewhere.
Dead. I would guarantee I'd be dead by now. I can't believe I'm still alive. Honestly, I'm so blessed that I'm still alive. I'm here. I'm healthy. I have the ability to do these things because coming from where I came from, it's like the probability was not there. You know, it was not likely that I was going to make it out. And the fact that I'm here, that's why I can stand on this wave and just be proud. Because here I am. Here me and Daniel are. We made it from the bottom up, and now it's living proof that it can happen.
Yeah, it can. It takes work, though. It's easy to talk about now because we put in so much work. I cried so much. We were talking about vulnerability. I got vulnerable with strangers. There's still stories that when I got to Wasatch and processed about that, my family has never heard from me because I feel like they would never understand some of the things I've been through. But I told a whole bunch of strangers who turned into family, strangers that turned into friends that turned into family. And I was able to process things with them that most people in my family will never hear from me. But I got it out, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but it was definitely worth it. And I'll do it again if I had the chance. Not like that, but like I would run it back. I wouldn't change anything that I've done in order to run through that process. It was so good.
Yeah, sometimes I see like people that are struggling. Like I have a friend when I'm thinking of specifically that's struggling with addiction, and like I know that like as soon as she finally makes the commitment, which we're hoping that will be today, but makes the commitment to make the change, like her life is going to get so much better. And she knows it. She knows it, but she's still just like, just tiptoeing around. Yeah. It's like,
that's funny. I was talking to Gabe in front of the IOP building last week or earlier this week. No, last week. And I told him, bro, there's a couple of my homies I know for a fact, if they got clean, they would be running this better than me. And I ran a pretty good program, but I feel like some people I know and still pulling for, man, if they ever got clean, nobody would ever know my name. These guys would come through and make them forget about me real quick. You know, like I feel like they would be so dope at running a clean, sober life, running a good program, just good people. Hopefully they find a light. I know they can reach out. They have my number.
Yeah.
It's a long, tough road. And I feel like the hardest part of doing anything is starting. And especially in addiction, it's so hard. Like tomorrow, and tomorrow never shows up. But when it does, oh, so good.
Super good. I think that like all that comes down to almost like parallel to like self-respect and the boundary thing. Cause like that tomorrow thing, it's like you gotta believe in that you can trust yourself and be comfortable with like making decisions for yourself, but also like following through with those decisions. Cause that's really where like that, like when I have something that I know is not aligned with my soul and I keep doing it every day, it's like I lay in bed at night and say my prayers and I think like, man, that was where I was missing the mark all day, you know, because those things are, I'm making a commitment to myself. Like this is what I need and I know it, or this person I need to not be around, or this person I do want to be around, or this situation is good for me or this situation isn't, but I got to commit to it and make the steps. Cause if I don't, then I'll start feeling like I'm just going against everything that I believe. And like, it starts a little.
It's Josie.
How is Josie calling right now?
She must have heard us talking about her. Sorry to cut you off.
No, I love that, bro. It's wild.
Shout out to Josie. I'll play it back. I believe in that. I feel like one of the biggest ways you can show yourself respect is whatever you say you're going to do, do it.
Do it.
Like, if you're going to lie to you, who else are you going to lie to? So don't lie to yourself. If you say you're going to do something, if you say you're going to go to the gym, don't justify or excuse the behavior of not wanting to go. Follow through with that practice. Follow through with whatever you're going to say for yourself and do it. Get up and do it. You know, we're the first ones that's going to tell ourselves we can't do it because, or at least for me, I've been doing that my whole life. It's a learned behavior that I taught myself and I became a professional at telling myself I can't do things. I just recently rewired my brain, started understanding that I am a good guy, that I can tell the truth. I can't follow through with what I say because I do it for myself before I do it for other people. And that's why last week was talking about transparency. Or was it the week before? But that's the only reason why I can be transparent and honest with anybody because I am to me. And that's, for me, that's a solid way to show yourself respect. You know, how you treat yourself, how you act around yourself, like integrity, you know, like just being the most solid in the world.
It's like, yeah, because like people talk about like building houses or building businesses or building their health or building all these things, but then they don't realize that they need to build that last piece is character. You have to have character. Yep. And it's like once you build that character and you feel trust in yourself, you feel worth in yourself, you feel love with yourself, you feel self-respect, it's like then all of a sudden you have a character that's built out of those characteristics. And that's really where it's at. That's the key, because everything else can come and go, come and go, come and go.
Yeah,
but that will stay forever. And that's something that you, that's actually, in my opinion, our soul's journey, you know.
Yeah,
like that's the purpose of our soul, is to be here and build that strength within ourselves, love and connect with other people. Yeah. And then be being, you know.
Yeah. And it's funny that you said come and go, because I was listening to this guru or whatever talk last night or something, and he was talking about people look at life as gain or loss, but there's no such thing. The only thing you do is profit. As soon as you're born with nothing. So you're always going to be on the profit side. You might profit negatively or you might profit positively. But everything you go throughout your life is a gain. You'll gain a negative experience. This is definitely a positive gain for me. But you're always profiting because you were born with nothing. The only thing you leave, the thing you leave this life with, is an intense, profound experience called life. And that's what he said. And that's, I thought that was so dope, because it's true. Like when you die, you don't get to take this container or bags full of gold or cars or trucks. The only thing you leave with is your character. The God that I understand is when you show up in heaven, the only thing you have with you is your personality, your character, your love, your spirit. That's the only thing that you take. And this guy told me, he was talking about the things in your life that matter the most. And he asked me, what is the biggest asset you have in your life? And at that time I had a house, and I said, my house. He's like, wrong, it's your time. So invest in your time. Make sure your time is quality and not quantity, because there's no way to add more seconds to 60 seconds in a minute. There's no way you can add more minutes to 60 minutes in an hour. So make sure all those minutes and all those hours have quality, because there's no way you can add to it, right? Just live your life to the fullest. Make sure that you have quality. I was watching James Bond, and he said, the function of a man is to live, not merely exist. I will not spend my days trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. And that's what I get from that, is like, live a quality life. For a long time, I was just this guy blowing in a breeze, just going wherever the wind blew. Now I choose the direction. The wind comes at me, I go through that guy, you know, because that's where I want to be, on the other side of the wind. And wherever I choose to go is where I'm going to be.
That's right, brother. And I love that so much. Yeah. I think that like this next, like these podcasts have been so solid. And I think that we have such a solid direction. And I'm just super grateful that we are unpacking these things, because they're important.
Yeah.
They're strong and they're powerful. And they're things that people, myself, for sure, like this topic right here is probably the one that gets me stirred up the most, you know, because it's something that I still struggle with to this day, but I've been working on, but also something that like I never even really thought about previously.
Yeah.
So it's like something that is really impactful in my life. But I think that like on the next episode or two, I have some directions that I want to go that I think are going to help unpack this topic, but also lead us in a direction for something amazing. But then next week, or in the next cast, we have a guest coming on that's just fire, dude. So we're going to try to work out how that's going to come. But be watching for that. Yeah. It's going to be litty.
And just for everybody out there, like the stuff that we talk about, like Mason said, we might not be experts, but we've gone through experiences that allow us to understand. You guys are just getting our perspective on things that we've gone through. But I like the topics that Mason's picked, because I feel like those are things that I need to work on for me too. If they're already good, get better at them. So thank you for everything that we've been talking about, because if I'm the only one that learned from this podcast, I'm cool with it, for real. Like everything. Yeah. No, like everything that we've talked about, I feel like are some of them I need more work on than others, but they all are something that I feel like I can definitely improve on, right, for sure.
Opposed to like never thinking about these things ever, I put a lot of work into this one subject, not just today, but for the last 2 years, 18 months. It's like this one subject has been something that came up continuously. So I've talked to therapists about it. I talked to coaches about it. I talked to friends about it. Yeah. So it's like, I may not be an expert, but I have lived it. And I am grateful that I'm making strides in that direction. And like you were saying, these podcasts are really for all of us to learn, all of us to grow. Cause it's like, these things are in action, like learning.
Where healing definitely becomes a movement. And I feel like this doesn't just necessarily pertain to addicts out there. Like, I feel like even those that have not gone through addiction can benefit from the topics that you chose, which is so fire, bro. Yeah, it's like on point. I feel like one of my homies, James, shout out to James. He's one of the guys that always sends me feedback. One time he was driving his truck, and he started texting, and then he sent me a voice message. He was like, "Sorry, bro, I'm driving. I can't text and drive. I'm in the semi." And then he left me. He's in a semi truck. But he left me this long message of things that he thought were great. And even though he hasn't been through addiction, he's like, "Man, I feel like I can apply a bunch of these things into where I'm at in my life." And he told me specifically things that he was going to apply, you know? And I love that. Like, I love that. Because this is definitely not just for addicts, but this is just where I'm from. My experience is from an addict's perspective, you know?
Right. Yeah. I love that so much, bro. Actually, like something like side note, like that I've been really working on is like helping the people that are around the addicts, you know, like the moms, the wives, loving an addicted loved one or somebody that's in recovery. Like I've been putting a lot of work into supporting those people too. So it's not just, that's why the codependency topic is so huge also. It's like, because there's two sides to codependency and both sides need love and attention. And so then that comes through like in each of these topics. But I just want to say, like, boundaries are not selfish. They're like self-respect in action. And self-respect is the key to breaking the chains of codependency. So I think that if the more that we live in alignment with what it is we truly know we need, then that boundary thing will be a lot easier and something that is vital in order for it to work. So if you've been giving too much, it's time to say no. And if you've been letting others carry you, it's time to step up and take responsibility. And either way, healing starts when you get honest about your needs and start protecting your peace.
Yeah.
Because healing isn't just personal, it's a movement.
It's a movement. One more shout out.
Yeah, get it, brother.
D picked up 2 years.
Shout out D. I've got a couple shout outs coming up this next week, but I'm going to make sure it's on time.
Yeah.
Plus, I get my 18 months in 2 weeks.
Let's go. This was dope.
Yeah.
Love you, brother.
Love you, big dog.
Hey, love all you guys out there.
Shout out to all y'all.